Hello, hello everyone out there. I want to start off by saying thank you for joining us. I'm Lynn B.
And this is Curtis B.
And we are United in Thought. Please continue to join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for new episodes.
And hey, remember to follow us on YouTube. We keep a great conversation going there. We have the United in Thought kickback, as well as we're still doing the United in Thought Thought of the Day. And also, too, follow us on all facets of social media. We are there. Please come to www.unitedinthought.com. Visit. We're still updating. And give us a chance. Thank you for joining, just as Lynn B. said. And we are jumping straight into the question of the day. And the question of the day is, should immigrants come to the U.S. and be able to latch on to black culture? And I'm going to give my commentary enough to say, no, I don't. The thing of it is, we have a lot of anti-black hate that's coming from a lot of groups that are migrating here. You have the the Chinese, who has a great deal of anti-black hate. You have immigrants that come here from, whether it be the Congo, whether it be Uganda, certain African nations that come here as well with a lot of anti-black hate, and I could just keep naming them. So, you know, but a lot of them come in, and they are here because of us, but they come in with a lot of anti-black hate, a lot of judging, and you know, I know a lot of this judging even comes from the music that our culture spreads through the world. You know, understand that black people, we are trendsetters. We control whether it be entertainment or a lot of what goes on through this world. We have a lot of power. So yes, no, I do not believe that they should come in and just latch on to black culture. Black people, we've done enough.
Well, this is Lynn B here, and yes, I agree with Curtis B that we've done enough, but to me it's more of a compliment, and I'm never going to lose who I am. Whatever they choose to lose, if they want to lose themselves and trying to be like the magical, beautiful people that we are, do what you do. I could really care less. Like I said, you ain't doing nothing but paying me a compliment in my eyes, or whatever. Everything in the world is based off of black culture to an extent, or whatever. So, I mean, it's not just immigrants who come here. I mean, they can be in their own country and still be doing black culture or whatever. So, I mean, that doesn't really make a difference to me whether you come to the United States and do it or you stay in your own country and do it or whatever. You know, I appreciate the fascination. I appreciate the compliment or whatever. Like I said, it doesn't make me any difference. I'm always going to be me. You trying to imitate me or emulate me is not going to change who I am, and you'll never be me. So, like I said, do what you do.
Yeah, you know, but just chime in just a little bit more with that. You know, even when you go and you look at the Love and Hip Hop, and you think about people like Cardi B, and then you think about people like Jocelyn Hernandez, you know, you see, they infiltrate black culture, but they do it in the most grimy, ghetto way. You know, you think that a lot of them think that they are emulating black women, when that is, no, it's quite the contrary. No, you're not emulating black women. But what you're taking is in an ignorant section, which every group has, and you're taking that and saying, hey, you're selling it to America, saying that that's who the ADOS woman is, or black woman, whatever you like to call yourself. You're saying that's who she is, and I think that that's wrong. I think it's a disservice when other cultures come in and they do that. So that's the reason why, you know, it's a sensitive subject with me. It's very touchy. I get very irritable when I see these things, because when they go back into their culture, they don't do these things. Their act is totally different. You know, so I have a huge problem when you think that you are emulating us, but you're taking an ignorant segment and you're saying that this is who we are, which we have a great deal of America that believes that black women are very angry all the time, single, they're overweight, they're this. You know, it's so much that go on with that, and it's just, I mean, I, for one, I hate it. Well, you know, I didn't mean to carry this out, but
no,
I mean, it's so much to say about it.
The two people that you named, Jocelyn Hernandez and Cardi B or whatever, Jocelyn Hernandez calls herself the Puerto Rican princess. So, now, I mean, when she called herself black, I don't know. Cardi B herself or whatever is never, I've never heard her call herself black either or whatever. And Cardi B raps about her life and what she did. If you listen, if you watch any bios about her or listen to her talk on any interviews or anything like that, talking, well, I mean, you'd rather not, but everybody's responsible for their own knowledge. So, to speak on someone and not know exactly what they're talking about, she's talking about her own personal experiences, the way she came up. She left her house at 15 or whatever and got into a real, she already lived in a grimy area and got into some more griminess
She
so like I said, she's rapping about her own experiences whatever, so I don't think that she's trying to emulate a black woman either. She's being herself.
I disagree with that, and you know, yeah, you're right, she did jump into her own thing, you know, criminally, you know, by drugging men and you know, robbing them of money. You know, my thing is, you know, look, I have things that my issues with Bill Cosby and things that he said to even talk down on black people, but here's the thing, why is it that jail is good enough for Bill Cosby but not for Cardi B? You know, or so
about who jail is good for.
I'm just saying. So, but yeah, you're right. That's another subject. But it's just, hey, man, look. I don't feel that any black little girl should be, you know, emulating either one of them. And yes, she calls herself the Puerto Rican princess, but also too, she's Afro Puerto Rican. So you know, that's about
okay. But
as close
she claims what she wants to claim, though.
So you know, but. We'll I see that we kind of disagree on that, so we'll just go on with it. And we agree to disagree, because, hey, that's all fine for here, for United in Thought. And, guys, remember, please support black media, and we just ask that you do that at the sum of $2 to $5 for just a snack out the gas station or a cup of coffee. Always please support black media.
Well, we'll go right into the hot thoughts from there. And mainly we're just going to talk about one main one today. There is, from allthingsinteresting.com, a article about archaeologists uncovering a new city 3 miles from the center of Jerusalem.
Wow.
Now, they say that this city held about 2,000 to 3,000 people. So they're saying, like, on average, it's the same some small cities today. You know, their population of what some small cities are today. Now, what's funny is that this was uncovered because they were going to do a new highway or something through this area, and it was petitioned to have it looked at first to make sure there was no historical things before they just went through rummaging, you know, everything or whatever. So basically, they're telling us it was on an inkling that someone said, hey, take a look first before we, you know, just go damaging the ground and everything else or whatever. Could have been an inkling, but I don't know, you know, or whatever. It sounds a little bit like, why isn't there an inkling all the time then? Anything near that area, why don't they do this too first? But, well, you know, like I said, that's another subject or whatever. And their archaeologists are considering this their Big Bang Theory. So they're saying this will make archaeology and science of that period, you know, it will progress it in leaps and bounds. Now, they're not saying anything biblically based or anything like that or whatever. They haven't gone that far in it, but they said as they've been digging it up, they found, you know, like housing areas, alleyways, they found beads and arrowheads and all this type of stuff or whatever. So, you know, they're still in the process of excavation, but it was just very interesting to me to know that they consider this their Big Bang Theory of, you know, science, and oh, now we'll, you know so much. I'm sure they'll sway it to the direction that they need to sway it.
Of course.
The important information they'll keep to themselves, but remember, you know, do your history on yourself and you'll know what you need to know about yourself and what you come from.
Exactly. Because you know, we Lambie and I, you know, we talk many times about excuse me, guys, I'm so sorry. We talked about religion and things for the future that we want to do as far as religion. So, you know, and it's some things that we're gotten worse, and we want to, you know, we're going to get going pretty soon. But the thing of it is, you know, that part of the land that Lynn B described is our land. It's our true land. So, you know, but we're going to further that in a, you know, in future show, you know, in a future show, future shows, because it's very important that we talk about it. So we're going to jump straight into the topic of the day. And the topic of the day is, now, there's a huge argument amongst men, you know, especially with us in the black community, ADOS community. We argue whether or not Kamala Harris and Barack Obama should be considered black. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you, no, absolutely not. You know, we have to understand something. The way I consider things is America has not had a black president simply because Barack Obama has no bones buried in ADOS. So no, to me, America has never had a black president. I don't mean some watered down Negro from another country. You know, so that's exactly what I mean. You know, these are the type of people that I feel that they want in power. They want people in power and in power that has no direct connection to ADOS. You know, you have to understand that. Barack Obama's one of them. We have now Barack Obama 5.0, Kamala Harris, and Justin Hills. So, you know, now, was Kamala Harris born here? Yes, Barack Obama was born here. But the thing of it is, these are people that are not American descendants of slaves, know nothing about the black experience whatsoever. So, you know, I don't believe that this country is ready for an ADOS president. I don't at all. You know, there are many that come into this country and they latch on to black culture, and I feel that it's wrong. I feel that it does our community a disservice because we always get the terms people of color. We always, you know, get these terms minority, which these very, very vague terms are more than dangerous, because you have to understand, these terms throw black people at the bottom of the barrel. They always want to speak about all of us in a monolith, you know. But I'm kind of going on a tangent, guys, and I'm just going to go straight on with it. Now, you know, it's really, really, really interesting. Now, we have, of course, like I said before, we have Barack Obama, who, of course, you know, he was born here. His father his father was a Kenyan citizen who met Obama's mother while attending college at the University of Hawaii. Now, you know, on the other hand, we have Kamala Harris, whose father immigrated from Jamaica to the U.S. to pursue an academic career. Now, you know, Harris's mother, Shyamala Gopala, is from Chennai, India. She is a breast cancer scientist who immigrated to the U.S. from Madras, which, like I said before, now is known as Chennai. Now, look, check this out. She may have been born here, but she knows nothing about the black experience. She is not ADOS. And the same for Obama. Okay? These are the type of people that they throw at black people to be in charge of black people, to speak for black people. Hell, you even have people like, what's her name? Joy Reid. That's using terms like we and speak about the transatlantic slave trade as if her people were a part of it. You know, we have to understand something. Joy Reid is not from here. She's from the Congo, but she speaks for black people. These are the things that we have to get rid of. A lot of them are robots. They're gatekeepers. They are to keep us hypnotized. This is the Democratic Party do. Tell you who to vote for, tell you who not to vote for. This is the guy. You know, just think about it. For the last, year or so, you've been called a bot. You know, so no, I don't believe that they are and should be considered black. You know, that's my opinion. Kamala Harris' father is Jamaican. Her mother is from India. I mean, so, hell, probably out of anybody, she'd probably be the least amount of black, and definitely not ADOS. So, you know, but I want to bring up one interesting thing, and this is after Lynn B. gives her commentary. So, what do you think?
Well, I think that from a societal point of view, people call anyone with a certain shade or a certain amount of melanin with their skin in their skin black. Black people would be the ones who would probably care to ask, like, oh, where are you from? Or something like that, because we know we come in all different shades. And so that other person that you're talking to may not be just black. Now, in the definition, black is described as, you know, of course, a dark color shade. And then they say someone, you know, with some sort of African descendant roots or something like that or whatever. So in that context, Barack Obama could be called black since he has African descent roots. It's whatever that person claims. And to say that someone with a certain amount of their melanin in their skin doesn't know anything about a black experience, to me, would also be false. Because of the fact that it depends on what time period you were born. And if you were born during, especially like Jim Crow era or before, they don't really care if you're mixed or not or whatever. If you're darker than them, you're getting the same treatment and you're getting thrown over there with the rest of the darker skinned blacks or blacks or whatever. So whatever you claim to me is, you know, like I said, up to you. I believe, like I said, society will view you as black if you are a certain amount of dark or you have certain features. They're going to view you that way. And saying as far as watered down blacks, to me, I don't really necessarily agree with that also, because myself, I have Indian in me. I'm not sure what all else, you know, or whatever, but I do have Indian in me, most definitely, and a large amount of Indian in me, and then a large amount of ADOS. So if I choose to claim Indian or whatever, that doesn't take away the ADOS part or anything like that or whatever. People are going to claim what they want to claim. There's no box that says write down everything that's in you or whatever. People claim what they want to claim. A lot of people claim what society sees them as. So as far as saying, like, never having, you know, like an ADOS president or something like that, I doubt that person that you're considering ADOS is just completely ADOS. I mean, there's a very large percent of us that are mixed with Indian. A lot of our ancestors were raped by white men during slave time eras and even thereafter during Jim Crow and stuff like that and had no resort. So as far as pure ADOS or whatever, I mean, I don't think that there's a whole bunch of people in their lineage who are just completely pure. And I don't know this for a fact. I'm just knowing from what I know about my family, what I know about hearing about others' families and things like that. I mean, I know people who look black who have a lot of Asian in them also, but also a lot of ADOS. So again, I'm not discounting that person's ADOS or their ADOS experience just because they are mixed with other things. I claim what the hell I want to claim. And my ethnicity is a mixture of things, but part of my background and part of my ancestors are ADOS. So that doesn't make me any less ADOS or anything like that or whatever. So, like I said, claim what you know want to claim or whatever society is going to give you one way regardless.
Well, here's the thing, you know, other things go along with that. About the black experience, because you know you have some of these people that come from elitist families, you know, and that's the reason why a lot of people also too say that no, you know nothing about the black experience. But when you're running for office or you're talking to a crowd, is that's it's a falsehood. You know, you know nothing about the black experience here in America. You know nothing about being pulled over or being harassed by the police, or in a lot of communities, even still now, you know nothing about just basically being harassed by the police.
How would you know that, though?
Well,
everybody wasn't always famous. Barack Obama wasn't always president. He had to grow up also.
Well, yeah. You know, hey, listen, I'm not saying that, you know, these people didn't have, you know, maybe little small run-ins. But, you know, you go tell that to a lot of the kids right now that was even a couple years ago, even dealing with stop and frisk, you know, in New York. A lot of these stop and frisk interactions have very serious consequences to them. That's the black experience that I'm talking about. Not just that,
well,
you know,
that
as, far,
I
as far as job, as far as jobs, as far as many things, you know. So that black experience, you know, a lot goes with that. You know, a lot.
I know you're saying there's all different elements or whatever,
yeah,
but you're
yeah.
saying you don't know every detail of his life.
No,
to say
I
that he hasn't.
No,
he hasn't experienced any of it. Now, like I said, if you're going off the police aspect or whatever, well, then I couldn't claim to have that black experience because that hasn't happened to me. You know, like I said, I've told several times that I've grown up on a military base, lived in a predominantly suburb area and a well-to-do suburb area for my whole life. So I've never had those type of problems.
Right.
I've never been handcuffs or anything else.
Because of your demographic.
Exactly.
You know,
and I'm a dark-skinned woman.
Now look.
So, like I said, I haven't had that experience. You would have to go through and find out what that person's experienced as far as the ADOS experience. You can't just discount them because you're saying, oh, you don't know anything about the black experience because maybe you didn't get stopped and frisked. Maybe he had a job problem. I'm sure he had to go through plenty of hoops to get where he was at politically.
Okay, well, and hey, look, you know, not saying that he didn't, but me, coming from a different demographic than you, like I said before, I'm from an inner city. Now, the thing about the inner city that I'm from is the police reflect the community. So, you know, I can't quite say in my very early years that I had those, you know, those type of experiences as far as a racial experience with my own, you know, even though that element's there too, you know. But at the same time too, no, it didn't happen until I got to the suburbs is when I started to receive these type of interactions. My mother had already experienced it because of her going to a different community than the one that we were in to go to work. So, you know, my family know all about them. Yours don't. Hey, and that's a good thing, you know. But at the same time, too.
But that doesn't make me any less ADOS, though.
That's just a segment of what I said. That's just something that I threw out there. You know, one section of the black experience, you know, that a lot of us have experienced, you know, as far as being on jobs, as far as police experiences, you know, I've experienced quite a few of them. So, I mean,
I felt discrimination before
as I've gotten older, but
that's what I'm saying.
But
you can't discount that unless you know for sure.
I never said that. My main issues with Obama is I've said them on other shows. I've said this on our YouTube show that he didn't do anything for black people. And he didn't have a plan.
We both agree with that, but we're talking about claiming
black. Well, let me finish. And he didn't have a plan for, you know, for ADOS. He never came in with a plan. He didn't want to. But anyway, but like I said before, listen, do I consider Barack Obama and Kamala Harris black? No, I don't.
What about by societal views? You don't think people consider
them
black?
Societal views, of course they're going to look at him and say, hey, well, we see nothing but a black person. But the thing of it is, you're talking about people that's looking at it from a white supremacist view, how they look at all of us. I understand that part of it.
But we're talking
about the blackest, you know.
Should they claim black? So I'm saying, when you look at me, do you call me black?
Well, here's the reason.
And I'm about 50-50.
But like I said before, here's the thing. You have those that come into this country and they latch on to black culture, every part of it, enough to make money, go into our communities, You know, and that's something that I feel that we have to stop. You know, listen, looks like this. If you are an immigrant coming here, hey, man, look, and you got here the right way, hey, man, we welcome you. You know, if you rock with us, and what I mean is, when I say welcome you, if you rock with us, then we rock with you. But if you're coming in here jumping team white supremacy, nah, we don't fuck with you. And that's just straight up. And I'm giving you my point of view. I don't fuck with you. And the only thing we say is when you get here, you hold your own fucking nuts. And I mean that shit. I mean it. If you're coming into this door with a white supremacist view, that's just what I mean. But anyway, you know, back to Kamala Harris and Barack Obama. Look, like I said before, no, I don't consider them black, and that's a huge argument amongst many. And so that's how I look at it, and I think that me and you agree to disagree. So
no, I was just, you didn't answer my question, though. When you look at me, do you consider me black?
I just told you, yes. So don't, you're kind of, I mean, come on now.
Okay, but what I'm saying is if you consider me black or whatever, and I'm about 50-50, then should I be claiming black?
Look, the thing of it is, you addressed that, of course, during the transatlantic slave trade. Many came here or whatever. A lot of us was picked up from a lot of places. But the thing of it is, we are foundational black people. They are not. They are not. You know, and but you come in and you latch on to black people for your votes. But a person like Kamala Harris, for example, you know, she's not this, and I'm using quotes, progressive, mm-hmm. like she said she is. She spent a lot of her career locking black people up, fighting to keep black people locked up, even after she found out that they were innocent. But then you come out on Martin Luther King Day, which is bullshit, and then claiming to be African American. And yada yada yada, and I'm a progressive, and I'm this, I'm that. Yeah, you want the black vote, but hell, you know, just a few years ago, you were locking up black people.
And what is she again? I'm sorry.
She is Jamaican and Indian.
Okay, so like I said, I check black when they ask me on any type of forums or whatever.
Well, there's not a lot of options. Well, I'm saying, there a lot of times.
That's what I'm saying. So I never see a box for Jamaican. Or whatever. She identifies more with what she'd be considered over here, even if she was Jamaican, would be black. Or whatever, then I don't see anything wrong with her claiming
black. Oh,
why is that?
Because of her Howard University experience?
I could care less about that. I'm talking about over here, she'd be considered black. We're not in Jamaica right. or whatever. There's no Jamaican box. If she identifies more with her Jamaican side, which would be considered black over here, or whatever, not her Indian side, well, whatever. She can claim whatever the hell she wants to claim to me. It's all about whatever it is that your ideals are, whether or not I'm going to vote for you and what your agenda is and how it affects me. And I have anything to do with what the hell you claim to me.
Well, I have a problem with it when you come in. Like I said before, you latch on to black culture, you're not black. And then you whore for votes, you pander for votes. But, you know, you're married white, you lock black people up. You know, it's just a lot go along with that. Like I said, Kamala Harris is somebody I can tell you right off the top that would not get my vote. Not at all. You never get it. and that's just straight up. She's a snake in the grass, I believe. So it's just, I mean, look, you know, like I said before, I totally do not trust her. You know, all the pandering, the pulling the hot sauce out the bag, and then she got one picture where she has a hamburger, and then she's got a bowl of greens. Who the fuck eats a hamburger with a bowl of greens? But the beautiful thing about it is, she's, right. The beautiful thing about it is, you know, here's the hot sauce picture again. You know, I just don't have time for that.
People's ignorance is their own ignorance. I don't fuck with hot sauce, never have. Or whatever. I mean, like I said, people want to deal in ignorance. That's not anybody else's problem but your own.
It's the pandering. It's the pandering that black people are tired of.
But that's not a pandering to me, and I'm black.
You feel that we don't have the intellectual fortitude to engage in a conversation or to get into our issues about why we're angry politically. No, you come at us with hot sauce. You come at us with dance moves. You come at us with the radio turning it up and starting to dance. You're doing the nay-nay. You got Roland Martin deep on there dancing with Hillary Clinton, buck dancing, you know. So, you know, that's the avenue that they come from. All we're saying is ADOS or black, whatever you want to claim, we're tired of this shit. Well, let's talk about the issues. And if you want our vote, you're going to give us something for that vote. That's just what you're going to do. If you don't have a black agenda, you're not getting the fucking vote. You know, it's just that simple. You know, stop with your dance moves. Stop with your pandering. That's all we want. And the thing of it is, quit trying to latch on to black culture. It's not going to help you. It's not. It's just not. So, you know.
So I find it a form of flattery, but
again, no, I don't.
Like I said, it's an insult. I find it a form of flattery.
Because they come from the most ignorant avenue as possible.
Ignorant to whatever they want to call it from or whatever. Like you said, there's different segments of all sorts of different type of attitudinal people or whatever, how you carry yourself and stuff in every ethnicity or whatever. My whole point of view is I happen to be an intelligent black woman, and I may find it entertaining or whatever, but I'm going to look at you like you're an idiot.
Yeah, I get it.
So, I mean, like I said, if you want to laugh and all that kind of stuff, my question will be what it always is to every candidate out there. Now that you're done performing for me, because that's what you just did, performed for me, what's your black agenda? I appreciate the laugh, but what's your black agenda?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay.
And look out for it, guys, because we definitely have some t-shirts that's coming that's going to say that. But listen, you know, like I said before, guys, remember, email us at unitedincode@gmail.com. That's unitedincode@gmail.com. Email us. Leave comments. Tell us what you think. You know, we're very interested, you know, in your feedback. And remember, keep supporting black media. But like I said before, you know, we're going to get ready to tighten things up and get on up out of here. And but we're going to jump straight into the shout outs. And basically, well, I only have one shout out. And that shout out is going to the Tony nominee Lauren Ridoff to play Marvel's first death superhero in the event Eternals.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, she's a black lady, been around for a while, you know, she's done some good work out here, so, yeah, we want to give her a shout out, and remember to support black media, and that's just at the sum of $2 to $5 on this platform, as well as our YouTube platform. Remember to go to www.unitedinthought.com, even if you don't go there and shop, thank you for the visit. And remember, we're on all facets of social media. Remember, go to our YouTube, please support. And and guys, listen, I would like to give ask you guys to extend prayers to a great friend of mine. He's an older man. He's going through a very trying time right now. His name is Larry Jelks. So if you could please extend prayers to him and his family. And so I am Curtis B.
And I'm Lynn B.
And we are United in Thought. Gotta go, guys. See you.